challenge each other.
We want a fight for the world. Ready, draw. Let's go.
He played the maze, baby. Let's get him.
Mom, first thing is out. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you from our Xfinity studio here at the NovaCare Complex. You know, we're here talking about the Eagles at a time when obviously the entire world is talking about what's happening in Penn State, and it's really on everyone's mind. And you wonder how much of this conversation that is on your mind is on my mind takes away from the focus of coaches, players, people around the league who are trying to really remain true to something they love, and that is the world of sports. We immerse ourselves in it. We spend so much of our lives and our passion in sports. It's what I believe in tremendously from the time I was a little kid. Always been around sports. I believe in being a part of the team and team concept, and it makes you really think twice about how important is it what we're doing when you see what's happening up at Penn State and all the story there that just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and just is so sad and so disturbing. But we will continue, obviously, to talk about the Eagles. Get your mind off that stuff and talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, who look to get on the winning track here on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. You know most of the storylines already here from this week. Eagles trying to bounce back from the Monday night loss to the Chicago Bears at 3-5, the midway point of the season. Not a whole lot, not a whole lot of margin for error at all. So the Eagles have to win. They have to make big plays like Brian Roll made on Monday night. And they've got to win and then win again and then win again and then win again and then win again. So it's a tough road the Eagles have to get on. And today, we will talk about that with Adam Kaplan, our NFL reporter. You know, I asked him last week, hey, how many wins for this team over the last 9 games? He said 7 at least. Okay, still possible. But tiniest margin of error. We're taking your predictions, 215-339-6709. And we are
going to hear from the coordinators as well. You're on the line there. I can hear that.
So, first thing we want to do is, it was going to be kind of a homecoming game for Kevin Cobb. Big trade in the offseason. Was it a good deal? Kevin Cobb traded to the Cardinals for a second-round pick and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Has it worked out the way you felt it would? I kind of would like to take a little midseason review here. All of these players signed. Which ones have worked out? Has Rodgers-Cromartie really worked out? Has Cobb worked out for the Cardinals? No. And they got a tough. They've had a real tough team, tough time here. This team has not played well at all. Not played well at all. You know, Larry Fitzgerald is a superstar. So I'd like to see what the Eagles do with him. Do they match up Namdi on him? I don't know. In the meantime, so the Eagles signed Jason Babin. Excellent signing. Eagles signed Namdi Asomugha. I still think a very good signing, although he has not been a dominating player. I think he can be a dominating player. They signed Ronnie Brown. Signed Vince Young. Threw one pass, was intercepted. Signed Evan Mathis. Good starter at left guard. Signed Cullen Jenkins. Excellent player. Excellent player. But overall, Jarrad Page didn't really pan out like the Eagles hoped he would. All of those, and it's just so tough to build a team and have it come together very quickly and build chemistry. I think that's, that is what's missing more than anything with this football team. But we'd like you guys to talk about it, so give us a call, 215-339-6709. Carl in D.C. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
How you doing?
A little bit better. I've gotten all of my anger out this week. Now I'm focusing on the Cardinals.
Good to hear. And that's the right approach. And I wonder, how did you get your anger out? At what point did your anger get knocked?
I took it out on a golf ball.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Yeah.
But it is frustrating, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. Mike Florio, this thing has Andy Reid on the hot seat about getting fired if it doesn't pan out.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I'm so sick of this. But there's one thing I've been an Eagles fan since I was, as far back as I can remember, I was raised in Delaware. And if there's one thing that's consistent about an NFL season is nobody knows what's going to happen. Now, I'm a half-full guy, and I believe this team will get it together. The defense took a major step back on Sunday.
Yeah.
Whatever the film was that they were studying, you know, with the way to get the Cutler and to stop Forte, whether it's just blown assignments or whatever, it didn't work, period. End of story.
What bothered me the most, honestly, was the Eagles didn't play physical football.
No, they look flat.
And we talked about this during the week, and there are a lot of things to talk about with this team. They didn't tackle well. They didn't appear to lay it all out on the line. They didn't play a hungry game.
No, they weren't. And, you know, when we were going through this up to the Washington game, and early in the game was Cooley, I think, that caught a pass out on, like, a tight end screen. And it was either DRC or Asamoah that just flattened him. And
yeah,
then you
Asamoah.
Saw the Eagles defense playing on their toes. They were hitting. They were attacking. I saw a team last week not playing to win, but playing not to lose.
Yeah.
When you play not to lose, mm-hmm. whether you're doing football, golf, or tennis, you're going to lose.
Yeah, it's hard to say that. I just didn't see them as aggressive, especially when they took the lead. It was like, okay, we got the lead, work done. We're good to go. And then the Bears came right down the field and scored the rest of the game.
Knox and Bennett were just, you know,
pushing the Eagles.
Carved us up like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah.
Now, is this over? No.
No.
I do believe in this team. I do believe they're turning around. But we don't – but instead of controlling our own destiny, we're going to need help. But you don't know what's going to happen over the next 8 weeks. We've seen the Giants go into a major slide. You know, and the injury teams get hot after the bye. They may have a couple of stumbles, but they get hot. And that's what I'm rooting for. That's what I think will happen.
Well, let's hope so. Carl, and as you know, they not only have to get hot, they have to be almost perfect. And that's it. And normally I'd say, okay, then that's possible. And we've seen it happen. But this team's shown no indication.
No, that's true. They're going to have to prove us wrong. And
go back to that play, Ryan.
You know, and you everything know, else.
Watch but, this. Watch. Know. Watch. Let's see if we can see this here. Watch the throw right after the interception. Okay, watch. Watch the show. You can't really see. Keep going. You can't really see it. Okay. I go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
So, I think they'll get it turned around. This team... One thing about our players is there is still a lot of pride. They had a bad game. They've got to forget it and keep going.
Well, Carl, it's a good – this is the time, and I'm going to get your prediction here in a second. We'll find out how much pride they have. We'll find out how much leadership they have. We'll find out how much desire they have. I don't know this team well enough to tell you there is a lot of pride. There's too many new faces here.
Think anybody else does. These guys are going to have to look at themselves, and it's going to be a test of character to see, okay, are you playing for money? Are you playing for the team? Because Deshaun wants a new contract. He's not doing well. I still think he'll get it, but, you know, you want to impress an employer. This is not the way to do it, whether he's getting alligator arms or just not getting open or not getting off. We know he's got the capability,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. We know. That's what's so frustrating. You know what this team's capable of.
Yep. It's frustrating. Give me a prediction.
I think they'll bounce back. I'm going to say 28-10. Birds.
You got it, Carl. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, the idea is, well, I'm not going to really talk about the end of the season here, but How much pride does this team have? How much want does this team have? How much hunger? I've always talked about it. You find out in times of adversity who your leaders are. And you find out in times of adversity how much your teams really want it. How much do they really want it? You know, does it matter to them more than anything in the world to finish this season 8-0? Saying it is one thing. Doing it is entirely different. You know, you hope for a win. Listen, if the Eagles don't win this game against the Cardinals, look out. Duel in Tampa joins us. Hey, Duel.
How's it going, Dave?
Great. How are you?
Doing better today.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better. I just feel like it's time to start fresh here.
Yeah, we've got to turn the page at some point.
Yes.
One of my issues, I know we keep focusing on the defense, as we should. You know, they continually give up points. We're, you know, very low in the league in terms of points and yards.
Ninth in the league in points. Yards, very first in the league up until last week. But go ahead. The turnovers have killed this team. I mean, they've destroyed this team's offense.
No, I'm saying our defense.
Oh, the defense. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and just, I mean, our defense has gotten a lot of flack, and I understand what you're saying as far as our offensive, you know, output, where we have been great. You know, I think I saw last week that we were on pace to have more yards than the 2000 Rams, which I thought was crazy, because I still feel like we haven't put together a complete offensive game.
Agreed. Well, the Cowboys was pretty close, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But just kind of along that point, and I know, you know, maybe we're asking too much, but, and I know we really shouldn't compare this team to the Packers, but I can't help but see, you know, the Packers don't have a complete defense. They don't have a complete team. But when they, you know, allow the Chargers to score 38 points, their offense goes out and scores 45.
I disagree with you. I mean, I think that this offense is flawed. And Michael has turned the ball over too many times. There have been too many fumbles. I mean, other than LeSean McCoy, I can't tell you that this offense has been lights out. You know, Macklin's
really, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, our defense was rough last year, but I guess we were bailed out by it.
Well, I would tell you that the offense, when you have as much movement along the offensive line as the Eagles have.
That's true.
And there has been quite a bit. And then, you know, that's where everything starts.
Yeah, you can definitely see the games where we've played well. You know, the offensive line is blocking great. You know, we gave up, what, 4 sacks against the Cowboys, but I don't think those were, you know, real sacks. It wasn't like the pressure that they had on them last game.
Yeah, I sometimes want to say to Eagles fans, hey, look, does this start to the season? This season, does it give you pause, and will it give you pause when free agency begins? Does it enforce the idea that free agency can't buy you a Super Bowl, that the way you build a team and sustain a team is to draft, nurture those players, keep those players, and develop continuity on the roster? Because you see what happens when you have all these new pieces trying to fit together quickly. You have a void in leadership, you have a void in continuity, and you just don't have the timing on the field that you need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people before the season started was, you know, comparing this to the 2004 team. But, you know, when we bring in, you know, T.O. that season, he's coming into a situation where, you know, he's asked to be the man, but only in that one regard. You know, he's asked to be the number one receiver. But when we're bringing in, you know, two new cornerbacks, when we're, you know, having to start a new safety with a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach, I mean, there was a lot going on. And so maybe, you know, a piece or two in free agency with a, you know, very steady coaching staff, maybe things would have been a little differently. But, you know, I definitely agree. And I think, you know, maybe that's something that we're going to look back on and say, you know, we really got away from what we had done the previous decade and say, wow, that did not work. But, I mean,
well,
I think,
who knows? You know, and you're right. You could be right. That could be the end conversation. I'd rather hold off on that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
I want to remain as depressing as 3-5 is. I want to remain as positive as possible, critical but positive, and look ahead with some confidence that the Eagles will turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, there is still, you know, a real possibility, you know, with the schedule that the Giants have. I mean, we're basically asking them to maybe lose to the Packers, to the Saints, and to us, and us go 8-0.
Well, 7-1, if you win 10 games, 7-1, somehow you're going to make it to the playoffs. I really believe that.
That's what we have to do. I mean, we're not at a point where we need to, you know, we're already a pretty young team, so we're not going to start playing younger players. We're already starting, you know, a lot of young players. There's nowhere to turn, even if we do, you know, lose that game to the Giants, which is basically kind of the, you know, the must win in the next 2 weeks. But, you know, that I guess that is something to hang your hat on, that we're still relatively young. We still...
Oh, this team should be a real good team, I think, for the next couple of years. I mean, that's dependent upon draft picks working out.
Right, absolutely.
You never know week to week how the draft is going to work out.
Definitely. Another point I wanted to, you know, kind of come back to on the offense. It seems, you know, I think because of the defense has, you know, been so porous at times, I think Mike Vick is, you know, really surprisingly got, you know, not a lot of flack for what's been, you know, a pretty mediocre year so far.
I would agree with that. I think
he's got, what, 11 touchdown passes?
And 9 interceptions.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty surprising.
Yeah, some of them have been tipped passes, I understand that, but the offensive production has not been where it needs to be. And the late game production, fourth quarter production, has been abysmal for the
offense.
Absolutely.
I just, you know, I'm waiting for that one game where our defense gives up 28 points, but our offense says, you know, that's okay. Yeah. We're going to go out. We're going to score 35 points. We're going to put together a drive at the end to win a game.
And the Packers, they returned everyone from last year. They kept everything together. Aaron Rodgers is performing at an unbelievably high level. They work in sync offensively, and they outscore you. So I believe, though, somebody's going to give them a very tough game in the playoffs where their defense will have to win the game.
Absolutely. Come January, your defense can't be giving up 30 points.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to go to Lambeau Field and do and beat that team. Now, you could get in a situation at Lambeau where, I daydream here, where there's inclement weather where you can't throw the ball. Well, this team runs the football pretty darn well, this Eagles team. Packers don't.
Yeah, just of all the years, you know, when our offense was so heavy in the past and we were just calling for the run and we finally have it and it's just so frustrating. We're like, oh, we should be this complete team.
Yeah.
It's just not quite there.
Give me a prediction for Sunday, Duel.
All right, I'm definitely still in the half, a glass half full kind of situation. So I'm thinking 34-17.
Great. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Let's hope we have a big game to talk about next week. All right, when we return, we're going to get into the coordinators. Bobby April's up. We'll hear from Kevin Cobb. Adam Kaplan joins us, and you as well. Here on Eagles Live, I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th, when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial. PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, we saw Kevin Cobb. I didn't promise that you'd hear from Kevin Cobb as well. Little audio glitch there, so sorry about that. We'll try to figure out that little clip from the NFL. If we have a phone call, let's do it. 215-339-6709. We are going to hear from Bobby April in just a moment. And you know he's going to be asked about the Chaz just debacle. Chaz Henry's limp throw, I guess is the way to put it. Fake punt. Gary in California. Let's get him in quickly here. Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
Oh, Gary, man. Come on.
You know what, man? I can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I really didn't even want to talk about the Chaz play. I'm watching your show live, and it's really ridiculous. This year, man, we've struggled with so many turnovers. It just breaks my heart, man. Week after week, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I told him, I said, you see how he's holding his hands on his head? That's what I do every week, man. You know, every game we have a hands on your head, head scratcher play, and you know, I really fear that we're going to end up losing guys like. I think we're going to lose some key free agents this year. We're going to have to mix some things up.
For,
I just wanted to get
example,
your opinion on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think we can keep some of that continuity that you've been talking about?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about player who's a key player. Who's a free agent?
You know, much as
Evan Mathis.
I met Deshaun when he came out to Oakland, and guy's fantastic. He's a really great guy. Got
love
a couple
Deshaun.
Of the jerseys. I love him. But in the red zone, we need a big body, man.
I agree. I think that's missing. And I don't think Riley Cooper's that guy. I mean, I hoped he would develop this year. I just haven't seen him get the opportunities. But I agree. The Eagles need to get bigger in the red zone. Now, does that mean Deshaun's not back because of that? No, I don't think so. I mean, I'd love to keep Deshaun. I believe this about Deshaun, though. You can't live on pure straight speed your whole career. And
absolutely.
you have to make people miss. You have to be better in your route running. You have to get physically stronger. And he hasn't done that, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, like you said, you know, we have a great rushing attack. I think, you know, of course, Shady McCoy, he's really stepping it up this year. And, I mean, he's been fantastic. You know, I really like how we're starting to use Celek a lot more. And I think that we've actually, you know, started to emerge in the Washington game and in the Dallas game because of that, you know, that keeping guys off balance. I think the offensive line is going to continue to get better. You know, of course, everybody knows I'm not even going to get into the defense. But, you know, offensively, I really feel that we have what it takes, except, again, I think in the red, 10 yards and in, Deshaun disappears from the offense. He really does. I don't know. Maybe you can tell me when the last time you've seen Deshaun score from 10 yards and in.
Yeah, hey, Gary, give me a quick prediction because Bobby April's walking up to the podium.
Okay, I got you. I think we win. I think it's a tight one because we make more mistakes. I say 27-21.
Thanks so much. We'll talk about Deshaun in just a moment. Here's Bobby April.
Any questions?
Now you get the pleasure of going against Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, the guy's really, you know, said this last week that, you know, we'll always face some guys that had the opportunity to strike quick and mentioned his name. So he's very good. 3 returns in 8 games. I don't know how long he can keep that kind of pace up, but that's pretty impressive.
Bobby, can you run us through how the fake punt, how it came about?
Well, I can't run you through everything about it because some of that's a strategy that we're not going to reveal. But, well, I wouldn't want to tell the other 8 teams on our schedule exactly what we're going to do. So anything specific that you want to know? Because, I mean, that's a strategy. That's like anything else. The call is part of an automatic that can and cannot be used. We could either protect it by what we see or we could throw it. And given the opportunity, which was a great opportunity, got the ball at the 40, I think officially the 42. You're down by 3. You got to pick up 6 yards. you got to take advantage of that opportunity. We didn't, so.
Run too far?
No, correct. He didn't run too far. He ran the route exactly the way he was supposed to run it. In other words, it wasn't, 4th and 20, where maybe even if he catches it, he gets dragged down. I mean, it was a short yardage. It was a short yardage for that play. So, we were presented with a great opportunity. And it's really frustrating that we didn't capitalize on that opportunity. It's really frustrating. But outside of that, we can't make it unhappen. But we got to go play ball.
Saying that, they had a situation where Colt was uncovered, that whoever was on him, came inside, and so that triggers that. But is there any consideration with that play about the time and the situation, or is that kind of an automatic?
If there were, that was the most perfect time to throw it. We don't have, you can't specifically, we don't have a formula for if you're 8 points up, if there's 15 minutes to go, 14 minutes to go in the first quarter, or if there's 2 minutes to go in a game, you generally would not throw that when you're winning. I would say that. Generally. Truthfully, it was the perfect opportunity to throw it. It wasn't executed.
You obviously practiced this play several times. I mean, did Chaz execute it fine in practice?
Yeah, he did. Well, he can throw. I knew he didn't make that throw. But he can throw. He was a 3rd-string quarterback at Florida, which, that's pretty good at a school like that. He could throw. I mean, he didn't execute it. My old coach used to tell me, my high school coach, when I first started getting the coaching, if you do it 20 times and it's not done right, you didn't do it enough times. You need to do it at least 21. Maybe we didn't practice it enough. Well, based on that statement, we didn't practice it enough.
Bobby, through last December 19th,
DeSean Jackson was a threat to take it to the house every time he touched the ball on a return. What is happening? Are they covering him differently? Are they punting to him differently? It seems as if he hasn't been close to really breaking anything.
Yeah, he hasn't been close. In fact, I'm doing a poor job in that area. I mean, we've got very, very little returns. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I thought his attitude, well, not his attitude, but I thought his approach to learning, implying his trade at that position, knowing how to manage it, knowing how to do this, was better than it was a year ago. And I was really looking, because, you know, you want to be rewarded. You know, you do good behavior, you want to be rewarded. I mean, you know, you don't want to live a Bronx tale, you know, where all you see is reward for bad behavior. And, you know, your dad drives a bus, he's doing everything right, and he got nothing, you know. So you like to see him rewarded for that good behavior, you know. And it hasn't. There's a lot of things, but I will say that I haven't. I haven't taught all the concepts that it takes to manage that ball properly, to understand all the situations of, you know, if it's punted directionally, if it's close to the sideline on this return and they got tremendous hang time, what are your opportunities? It's kind of like playing golf. You know, you have to, if you're in a precarious situation, you may not want to use the putter. You know, I mean, there's some things you have to do when you're in those situations. And I haven't, you know, I've had him for a long time. And I just have to do a better job that in the moment we understand all the things it takes for every situation. And that was a situation, you know. The return was one way, the ball was punted the opposite. A lot of things happen, and so we have to do a good job of teaching it, and that's my job. And so I fall short.
Full clarification from the fake punt. So they have, if they get a specific look, then there's an automatic, but you say you can also hold back. So
sure, oh, yeah, so absolutely.
Ultimately, does that get green-lighted from the sideline?
Well, ultimately, you know, everything I do, I'm in concert with the head coach. Game plan, you know, we talk about all the stuff, and he's great about all of that. I mean, he's on top of everything. I mean, anytime we go into almost any situation, if I'm not on top of it, I'll be on top of it because he'll come down and go, you know, get the hands team ready. The play, geez, I can't even remember when it was. You know, he was talking about them taking a safety, you know. So he's always on top of everything. Now, I'm responsible for the play, though, you know, and but of course he knows about that, and of course he knows when we're going to do things and when we're not going to do things, and we talk about it because we talk about it through the game, because we always have a lot of stuff in to take advantage of situations, and like I said before, I mean, you can't make it unhappen, but. It was a good situation. You may not agree, but it was a good situation to take advantage of that opportunity. We just didn't get the throw out there.
Was the coverage on Devin Hester, both in kick and punt coverage, the best that you've had in your tenure with the Eagles? Started stopping any
return? On him, the best I've ever had anywhere, you know. On him, because he's really good. Boy, the guys did a good job. I mean, they really did a good job. They played really good. It really didn't have anything to do with what I did because we were very vanilla. You know, we were very vanilla. I asked them, you know, I said we'd be as simple as we can be, but, And, you know, I want you to just play as fast and as hard as you can. And that's what they did. They did a really good job. So, you know, he's hard to stop. He's hard to stop. And they're hard to stop because they got a lot of really good players.
Bobby, as a punt returner, is Patrick Peterson in his class?
Well, I would say, you know, after eight games and what they were in their college careers, he absolutely is. And that's a compliment to both of them because you're talking about, geez, you know, the exceptional, you know, just unbelievable type athletes. Certainly Hester's ability for longevity, his ability to continue to do it, his ability to keep a sharp edge. Because Hester's really unique. The guys that have all the records are really unique in terms of, because if you went down the list of all the guys last 20 years that have led the league in punt returns or kickoff returns, very, very short championship reign. Very short. Be names on there, you go, who's this guy? Who do he play for? You know, you wouldn't even know who they are. But the guys, you know, like Hester, Brian Mitchell, I mean, you can visualize their runs. So it takes a talent to have that tenacity, you know, to have that hunger, to have that desire to go flying up in there, you know, to go flying up into the briar patch. There's a daredevil mentality that Hester has. You know, I mean, and that's how he gets those runs. And can Peterson maintain that? You know, who knows? I mean, only the future will be able to tell us that. But at this very present moment, I mean, I don't think even Hester had. Well, he didn't. This kid's got three quicker than anybody. So he's actually a little bit ahead of him where he's at in his pro life. So I told Derek that I was going to be like no more than three-word answers this week. I said I read the transcript last week and I was sick that I talk so much. So I'm going to go three-word. And now today the answer has been longer than any I've ever given. So I contradicted myself. Sorry about that. Well, I haven't seen. Well, I don't usually watch his press conference, but.
Question about that daredevil mentality as well.
Oh, jeez, does he ever
take advantage of that and kind of use?
Well,
that
you know, I mean, he's fielded some balls that you know inside the five, and you know, and those are things that as a football team, you certainly need to take advantage of them. If you don't. Hey, boy, you sit back there and you go, you know, this is not very good. I mean, this guy gave us a golden opportunity. He presented us with a gift. He's fielding it at the one. Let's go down and make the play. We're in overtime. What the hey? You're going to field it at the one? We're in overtime? All we got to do is play decent defense, decent offense, and we're going to win the game by making that play. Well, he, you know, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. I mean, he did it. Yeah, I mean, you gotta be bold enough to step in. You gotta be bold enough to step in a ring and throw some leather. I mean, you know, if Buster Douglas is fighting Mike Tyson, he's not trying to get a draw. I mean, he better throw leather to win it, and he did. You know, and that's what you gotta do against guys like that. You can't go down there trying to get a tie. You gotta go knock him out, and then you can do it. But you gotta, you know, a lot of guys are gonna have that mentality, and I'm not saying. The Rams didn't because the Rams have done a very good job. Just on that moment, kid came up. I mean, that's as big a play as you can make. I mean, 99 yards in overtime? Come on. That's rare. Really, it probably never happened before. The longest return is, what, 103? And that was on a touch. That was on a touch in the end zone where I think the Rams were playing the 49ers. All the 49ers ran off the field, and Bailey scooped up this ball while it was in the end zone. They thought it was downed. So he gets an asterisk by his 99-yard return. Last one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One more question. About
I'm tired of talking. Thanks, Brent.
The fake punt. You said it was a tremendous opportunity, but it's a three-point game with 9 minutes left, and you have a rookie trying to do it. Does that enter into the equation at all?
If you think he can't throw it, it definitely enters into the equation. It definitely enters into it. Being down by three is you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Being down by three presents you with a great opportunity. Not a great time to be cautious. But, you know, anyway, thanks, fellas.
All right, there goes Bobby April, man of just a few words. Listening to him makes me hungry. We've got just the solution for you. My friends at 7-Eleven have the ultimate lunch deal for you. We want you to tackle your hunger at participating 7-Elevens with two of our Go-Go Taquitos for just $2.29. There you go. Participating 7-Elevens. Go for two in crunch time with 7-Eleven. Dave Spadaro with you here. Coordinator Day on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bobby April's special teams have a very large challenge on Sunday. Patrick Peterson. The punt return heard round the world against the St. Louis Rams. 99 yards leads the Cardinals to the overtime victory on Sunday. Kid is dynamite. We knew he would be. We talked about him all before the draft. Certainly not as productive as a cornerback at this point as he is as a return man. Three touchdowns as a return man already, but the kid's got it all. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. Talk to Shannon. Hey, Shannon.
What's going on, Dave? Listen, Bobby April can talk, man. He has the gift of gab.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he's not bashful.
He is not bashful at all. Let me give you my score quickly before.
From one BSer to another. Hey, Shannon.
Oh. 30 is bad, Dave. It's bad. 35-17.
Okay.
35-17 Eagles. Listen, we got to get it going, Dave. You know me, man. We're going to fight to the end, man. And I believe we can do it. We have to show it. It's all about possibilities, potential. I know everybody's tired of hearing that. It's time to execute now.
Yeah.
And it's time for real leadership. And real leadership knows how to keep composure. You know what? The thing about real leadership, Dave, when they get into those little dumb fights that can give possible penalties, leaders don't get into those fights.
Leaders don't Leaders do a lot of things that you don't see behind the scenes. They're not
right.
The ones preening in front of the cameras during the good times.
Right.
They're the ones exactly. who rally the troops during the bad times, and that's what I'm waiting to see with this football team. Haven't seen it yet, to be honest with you. Haven't seen the leadership. I know Michael Vick was very said the right things yesterday. Great leadership
right.
on the team, but you don't have great leadership on this team when you're 3-5 with
no.
this kind of roster.
And
making the kinds of mistakes that the Eagles make, that's the disappointing part about it.
Dave, question. Did you want Haynesworth or no?
I'm sorry?
Did you want Albert Haynesworth or
no? No. I don't want another vet. I don't want another veteran with a big ego. How about that?
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't go to Tampa Bay and starts balling, man. That's
fine. Let him go ball. Why would you look, we always hear it that there's only one, you know, you go to New England and New England brings out the best in you. Well, clearly, that's not happening with Albert Haynesworth. Now, in the offseason, I was all about Albert Haynesworth. I thought that Jim Washburn could get the most out of him. But
right, the Jim Washburn love connection. That's what I was depending on, you know? Like, maybe he can come here and fall in line, you know? I don't know.
So,
I don't know, man. But we got to get the running game going. The defense needs to get going. I think we need smart play calling. Everybody needs to be moving. I want to, you know, tell the Eagles fans, man, we got to keep the faith, man. I think we can do it. And, Dave, let me know if you need help in Miami, man. I'll be here. Keith is not coming, but I'll be in Miami. Let me know.
You got it.
All right, brother. Talk
All right,
to you, man.
All right, man. All right, so we're going to hear from Juan Castillo and from Marty Mornhinweg as well. Hopefully we talk a little bit more about what's coming up rather than kind of take a big picture view rather than the Bears. We know what happened to the Bears. The Eagles defense gave up a bunch. Eagles offense didn't deliver, and obviously special teams had their moments in coverage for sure, not in the return game, and not in an opportunity. And I agreed with the call. You got a play like that. You've got a chance to make a big play. You make it. Chaz Henry just has to make the play, and he did not. But I'm with Bobby April on that call. I like that call a lot. I just want to see the play made. Gary in Southwest Florida. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm fine, Gary. How are you?
That's a stupid question, really.
But... yeah, I know. I'm fine in the big picture of the real world. I'm fine. In the picture with the Eagles world, I'm depressed.
Let me take you back to the management of the Eagles coming on TV over and over and saying how much they had this plan for 3 years or 2 years or whatever it was. And they went out there and they grabbed all these people.
Yeah.
And that looked really good to me back then.
Yeah.
But now it's hard to say who's a character guy, who is, and who's a clutch player and who is. And, you know, they were right about some things, but maybe there were reasons that all these guys were free agents.
Well, look, I'm not going to – the plan has not worked. Oh, geez, we have Marty Morningwood. Can you hang on for a minute? You want to hang on for a few minutes? I'll tell you. We'll go to Marty first.
That last ball game, I'll cover that just briefly here. We've just got to play a little bit a higher level, more consistent basis. I thought we had it rolling coming out of halftime pretty good, and then we made some mistakes. And I've got to do a better job there. And then this ball club coming up, they're coming off of a game in overtime where they returned a 99-yard punt for a touchdown to win. They've got some juice on defense. They play an aggressive style. They base out of a 3-4. Excellent group of players. They play fast. They play hard. They've got some good young players as well. So we've got to be on task. Working all their different types of blitzes. That'll be important. And so we'll open up to questions.
Marty, why King Dunlop at left guard?
Well, King's a good player. You know, Vandervelde has taken some reps there as well. We've got several players who we have great confidence in to play. I have a high level of confidence in King Dunlop. I think he's a good football player.
Going against the 3-4 scheme factor into that decision as well?
Oh, not really. I don't know where you're going with that, but Todd's an excellent athlete and can play really any one of really five positions up there. He's he's proved that, and he's playing at a pretty high level.
Jamal Jackson seems like he's really buried. I mean, after you go King, you said then it's Vandervelde, so that would put him as the fourth option at guard. This is for a guy that was a pretty decent starting center.
Yeah, he's a good player as well. He certainly can go in and play. He's practicing at center, more of a center with us, you know. Certainly could go in at guard and play and help us that way as well. He's a big part of our football team, as you know. Good player, smart player, certainly has helped our rookie center and our rookie right guard throughout the process here. So he's an important part of this football team.
Does he not match up, though, I mean, style-wise for what you guys are doing?
Well, his main position would be center. And then the rookie center, you know, Jason has been playing very well. So that's where we're at there.
He's only played tackle. That makes you confident that you can move him to guard as opposed to some of the other guys who have played guard before in the past.
Well, that's a good point, but he has rep guard many times, both recent past history as well as past history. So I've got great confidence in him going in and playing. He's had a good day of practice, a good walkthrough this morning.
Taking away the big play from Deshaun so far this year?
No, we haven't. You know, last week we only had 3 over 20. We all knew it was going to be a little harder the way they play, and typically the way they play us last week. Really, I still think we're ranked very high in big plays in the NFL. We've gotten a big share of big plays. We're always very good at that. Last week, we certainly tried several times. Had a couple shots, but Mike made a good choice and brought it down. So, you know, when you play a team like that, you've got to play like we did those first two drives of the second half. You've got to play really consistent. You've got to put 8, 10, 12, I think we put a 15-play drive together. You've got to do that against those type of defenses, and they rely on a run for zero or a tip ball or a sack. They rely on that throughout those drives to get you stopped.
Morty, just back to the offensive line for a second. Winston, when he played there a few weeks ago, it seemed like he did pretty well. Was there any consideration to moving Todd again, or you just don't want to do that?
Well, all of those things certainly were thought about. And this is a great confidence in King. Going in and playing ball. He's repped the guard before. I think he'll play at a high level.
The offense is only averaging 3 points per game in the fourth quarter. And this is the third-ranked offense in the NFL in terms of yards per game.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you
our numbers are kind of strange. We're ranked very high in, I think we got top 10 in 15 or 18 different categories, major categories. And we're very high in many, many categories. And so, however, we've turned the ball over too many times. We did it last week. You know, had a nice drive going there, and so it comes back to the turnover deal. And we've had chances, we've had opportunities in the fourth quarter, and we just simply have to play at a higher level late in the game. It's not complicated. Run the play, you know. Just like you would in the first quarter or in practice, we'll be fine there. Yeah.
When you were over that turnover hump,
where are we at here? Yes.
After the previous couple of games, did you think you were sort of past that turnover?
Well, we turned it over twice, including a special time. I mean, these turnovers are that's the one. We don't talk too much about stats, but that's the one statistic that we do discuss. On a regular basis, because it's the one of very few stats that really correlate highly to winning, is the turnovers. And so we've got to take care of the football.
Why is it your number one problem on offense? Why is it what is it with this team?
There's several things. It's not one thing that goes into that deal. And I'm with you. I thought we were over just a little bit, but we did on offense turn it over one time last game, and it ends up all of them are important, you know, unless you win the game and you get covered up just a little bit because you won the game. But so there's a whole host of factors, and there's the turnovers have been created by different situations, and all individuals on the offense have had a part in that, and it's just a high level of execution. Then the other thing, among some other thoughts, but another thing is there's been some once in a blue moon things happen to us that happens. They happen once every 3 or 4 years, you know. Well, shoot, we've had about 10 of them happen to us. And so some of them, I've took some calculated risks, and they blew up. And that's my responsibility. You know, all of it's my responsibility. And so I've been through them all. There's many different reasons for each one of them, we certainly focused on it and emphasized it. Typically, I've had a lot of years in coaching. Typically, you emphasize it, you typically get it, and it took certainly a few weeks for us to overcome that, and I thought we did. But in any case, we turned the ball over once last week, and it was down in the red zone again, and so we've got to play at a higher level and on a consistent basis. You know, every play is important down there.
With the way LeSean McCoy is playing, are we starting to see defenses game plan for the Eagles a little bit differently than in the past?
Well, every game plan is different. Every defense is different. Some defenses are going to do what they do and then game plan specifically for some situational items on the field. Other defenses, it'll be a whole new game plan, and you're not going to see anything that you saw on film in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Or maybe even all season. We've had that occur. So Every game is different that way. Do we have a question over here?
You've met Joe Paterno, and your son has committed to Penn State. What do you make of the situation up there as how it reflects on Joe Paterno, and then what does your son have any plans going forward about his commitment?
Well, my son has advised me he would rather no comment on the situation, and I'm sure he'll come out and speak one of these days, and I think it'll be quite a while. So we'll see.
Marty, you also were mentioned as a candidate as a potential candidate for the coaching job, there. I mean, how do you feel about that?
My son has advised me he would rather have no comment. And I think that's a mature way to handle, no comment. Some things going on that are more important than what we're talking about here. So,
thank you.
All right, so there you go. That is Marty Morningweg, Eagles offensive coordinator, and his son Skyler, as you see here at the end there. Nobody can escape the Penn State story, not even the Eagles offensive coordinator. So smartly, he does not comment on that. His son Skyler committing to Penn State. National signing letter of intent day is, I guess, in February. So we'll see what happens there. But that's not the focus here. The focus is the Philadelphia Eagles. We've heard from two coordinators. Let's go back to the telephones here. And Gary, I think, stayed on the line. Gary, you still with us?
Yeah, I did. I just watched that. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I want to just go back to capulate what I was saying.
Yes.
And that is, that these guys look like a cat walking around with a mouse in their mouth. Hmm. Several months ago when they had gotten all these free agents. And yet, when you lose, you see a lot more than you would have seen if they were winning. You see maybe some borderline character issues.
Absolutely. There's a saying, Gary, that winning covers up all the bad things, and that's the truth.
Exactly. Who cares, when you're winning?
Yeah.
But, we need experience, and that's going to happen if, all the same guys are kept next year. The way I'm looking at it, I would have to make some replacements happen before the next year comes. But chemistry is something that there's no guarantee of. I don't care how good a coach is or how smart the management is about, these free agents. Chemistry is, a fragile thing.
Yeah.
And, we look like we're in serious need of it. These guys look, I'm sorry, man, but some of these guys look lost on defense still.
They do not look comfortable. There's no question about it.
Yeah, not comfortable. That's a euphemism, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
But, hey, I'm just looking for... What bothered me when I watched that game? At the end of the game, toward the end of the game, Michael Vick was hanging his head. If you didn't see it, take a look.
I did not see that.
Okay. Well, because, the national camera was on him, and they don't show him all the time. And many times in the end, toward the end, especially in the last drive, when things weren't going well even before that, he looked like he was frustrated and hanging his head. I was thinking, Christ, if he doesn't pick these guys up, we're screwed.
Well, I mean, again, I've said this, Gary, when you are winning, it's great. It's easy. When you're losing, you find out who's here to stay and who's not.
Hey, Michael played hungrier last year. He played hungrier, and he made the big bucks.
I don't know if Michael played hungrier last year. I think Michael's a gamer. I really
do. Well, just look at the statistics.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not playing hard. That doesn't mean he's playing less hard. It means that he's not playing as well. And there have been some tip balls. And, last year, his first six games, he was almost perfect.
I think he was motivated more, last year.
Well, I disagree with that. But anyway, let's do this. Let's get your prediction before Juan comes up and talks about the defense.
Okay. 28-10.
Okay.
I think we're going to win this game.
Do you believe the Eagles are going to get back into the season, Gary?
Nothing surprises me.
Okay. All right, let's go to Juan. Thanks very much. Let's go to Juan Castillo talking about the Eagles defense.
So what? Forte ends up with 130 some yards Monday night, but he fumbled the ball away twice. How do you look at that? At the end of the day, did you stop the run, how bad was it?
Well, the bottom line, Les, is that we didn't win. So, you know what I mean? Even if we held them to 20 yards, you know, we have to win the game. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the goal. That's what we have to achieve.
They want that there was some communication errors in the back, and what do you attribute those to?
Well, you know, every team has certain formations, shifts, motions, and all those things, and that's what you do during the week. That's what you prepare for during the week, so you don't have any communication problems or any errors or anything like that. You know, I have to do a better job with that during the week.
You a lot of different things maybe that you weren't expecting.
Well, you know what, the thing is that that's what you have to prepare for. And, you know, when you play a team that had some time to prepare for you, that's why you have to be sharp. You know, we've come off bye weeks and we have that extra week. So you know that. So you have to do, really even a better job than the normal week.
Were there any communication issues due to having younger safeties in there, Jaquan getting his first game time as safety?
No, John, I just got to do a better job during the week. That's when it all happens. With, you know, we are, you know, our third safety and our fourth safety, they get reps during the week. So we all work. And I think the key is just making sure that you prepare for all the formations and everything that you're going to get and work the things that you feel that you're going to get. I think that's the key during the week. And I have to do a better job with that.
Are you concerned about the fact that you've been gashed a little in the first quarters and then come back in second and third quarters and seem to have everything under control, and then in four of the five losses relinquished leads in the fourth quarter?
You know what, Merrill, yes. I mean, we have to, you know, we talk about finishing, you know, as a team, we talk about finishing, and that's what we work on during the week. You know, we didn't give up a touchdown there at the end, you know, but we held them to a field goal, but, you know, we had some penalties and they ate up some time, and really looking back at the game, the third down was really the crucial thing. You know, we've been really pretty decent during the year in third downs, and we didn't do as good a job with the third downs. I got to do a better job game planning the third down situations.
Were you really surprised that they stopped your pass rush as well as they did, the front four pass rush? I guess they kept a lot of guys in. Were you anticipating that, and what can you do? Are you going to have to blitz more if teams do that? How do you handle it?
Well, you know, if that happens, you have to have, you know, there's certain things you do, Les. You know, we've had that happen before. We've faced that, you know, and there's really two things that anybody does. You either play coverage, and then you say, you know what, what's going to happen is with coverage, you should be in good shape, or you blitz. So if one doesn't work, you have to go to the other one and be prepared to do that.
I think your coverage wasn't where it needed to be.
Well, you know what? The thing is, I have to do a better job putting our guys in better position to cover. You know, they made some first downs on third downs, and really we had been pretty good at that. I think we were seventh or in the top 10 in third down percentage. You know, so we had been doing a good job with that. You know, I have to do a better job game planning that.
Well, when you take a guy like Rogers Cromartie, who's done one thing his whole career, and then slide him into something slightly different, especially without OTAs and everything. Is there an expectation that he may struggle and that the confidence gets affected and it kind of snowballs from there?
Well, you know what? With Dominic, he's such a talented player, you know, good kid, hard worker. And the thing is, you know what? That nickel position, when you look at it, it's a tough position because the receiver has a two-way goal. You know, so our goal is that Dominic has that kind of ability to be a special guy in there. And we know that it was going to take a little bit of time because it's something tough for him to do to get in there. But we know he has that kind of ability. We know in time, he'll be the best nickel guy there is just because he has that kind of ability. But, yes, does it take a little bit of time? Yes. You know.
Jared, what do you make of his readiness to go if he has to start this week?
Well, you know what? He's been working hard, and he's a physical guy. You know, that's one thing that you did see this past week. There's a physical presence there, and the more reps that he'll get, the more comfortable he feels. I think it's more just about feeling comfortable than anything else, John. You know what? He had a solid game. He was solid, and he was good. Like I said, you know, we all know that he's a physical guy. He's a good tackler. So, you know, just the thing is just getting comfortable being in there and playing.
Grant him.
You know what? It was nice to see Brandon out there again. You know, he played hard. You know, he was solid. You know, I think for being the first time back out there, you saw that he had a couple of good rushes. You know, we're excited. I think every day that he practices, he gets better. I saw him, you know, he had a nice move yesterday in practice against one of the offensive linemen. So I think just every day he gets in a little bit of shape and gets used to being hit. And so we're excited about that.
How much more will help Jarrett this week getting more reps and understanding that he'll be able to play instead of coming into the game?
Well, you know what, that's the key, because you know what, I mean, you only have so many plays during the week, and I think that's the critical part. And, you know, Jared last week, probably out of eight plays, he probably took two or three, you know, where this week he'll be taking all of them. So, or he's been taking all of them. So it does make a difference, you know.
Juan, what are the different skill sets between Kevin Cobb and Doug Skelton, and not knowing which one you might be facing?
Well, you know what, we all know Kevin, you know, Kevin. So we know Kevin more than the other kid, you know. I mean, Kevin's a competitor. He's a winner. I mean, we know that part, you know. And the other kid, you know, did a good job. He's a taller kid, you know, so he can see a little bit better. And he moves decent. And he it looks like he has a good feel for their offense. So both of them are pretty good players. So we're, you know, I think the difference is, you know, one's just a little taller. And maybe, you know, Kevin moves a little better than the other one. You know, they both got good arms, and they're both smart.
How do you balance the long term with the short term when it comes to putting together this defense? Where, you know, Nnamdi might eventually be a good rover, you know, but you have to learn that position. The same goes with Rodgers Cromartie. In the meanwhile, losses are piling up at a rate where, you know, the playoffs are now in jeopardy.
Well, you know, the thing is that you have to try to get this done and win games. You know, as you're doing this and keep going. You know, we. I think the key thing is for us this past week was just the third downs. You know, I mean, we didn't, you know, I think, you know, they were 7 out of 14. I think they were 50%. Normally we've been better than that. And I think that, you know, those things keep the drives going. I think we had 3rd and 8, you know, had 3rd and 10 plus a few times, you know, and we got to get them off the field. And we have been good at that. So I think that's something that we're focusing on. You know, today's our nickel day. We'll focus on that and work some of the fundamentals and some of the techniques and get them corrected.
He does play. I mean, obviously, you coached his protections for a while last year.
The thing is that every team has different protections, you know. Every team does things a little different, you know. And so, but, you know, I think the thing that's important is that I know what kind of competitor he is, and I know that he wants to play. And if, you know, if I know Kevin, he gonna play unless he just can't. I mean, unless just it's impossible, you know. I mean, that's the competitor that he is.
So you'll have Nate Allen this week?
You know, Les, you have to ask Coach Reed on that and Rick.
Brian Roll had 6 tackles. He had the fumble that he returned for a touchdown. Can you talk about his progress and his singular wins and keeps?
You know, B-Roll is really a playmaker. You know, there's some things that he still needs to improve on, but you can see that he has ability. You know, he's a tough kid. He's a smart kid. And he's been making plays. You know, I'm excited for him. He's growing. He's getting better.
All right, that is Eagles defensive coordinator Juan Castillo. When we return, Adam Kaplan joins us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shifts the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
we wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team. And it, every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go on to philadelphiaeagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course, the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. I'm Dave Spadaro. We bring you into the studio here with our good buddy Adam Kaplan, our pro football writer here, who has been with this team every step of the way this season. And who would have thunk it? 3-5, midway point of the season. Really tough spot for the Eagles to be in, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I could have understood 5-3, but 3-5? No, it's not what anyone would have believed at the midway point. You know, it's they're really good, and when they're bad, you scratch your head and like, how do you have a game like that? And I never bought the you know, letdown theory, because you have you're going against a conference foe who you've played before over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's a game you're in every week now, one game seasons. You can't afford to lose. And they came out flat. I really did. I know I like that they fought back, but the fact of the matter is this is a team that they should have beaten, but they didn't.
Adam, let's talk about some of the pieces here. Is this team talented enough to win big in this league? Is the roster talented enough to win big?
Yes, but not through a lockout-shortened offseason. I think that it's kind of what we thought. I mean, it's unrealistic to think that without the benefit of an offseason, you can get all these new pieces to fit with the coaching staff and the personnel. It's just, I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you reality. It's you see the potential.
What worries you most, the offense or the defense or the special
defense,
teams?
Defense. I wouldn't be concerned about the Eagles' offense at all. They're going to score over 20 points each week. You know, every now and then, I think you'll have an inconsistent performance, which we saw, against the Bears on Monday night. But the fact of the matter is, the defense is so inconsistent, you don't know what you're getting each week. That's the problem.
Why is that?
I think it sometimes is schematic. I think the guys are not understanding what they're being asked to do. I think if you watch that Bear game, it was like they were stymied from the beginning of the game. Every once in a while, they made Cutler move around, but he was really comfortable.
But did the Bears do something that they hadn't done?
No, they're doing everything. Here's the thing I don't understand. My biggest question coming into the game is, how would the Eagles break down the Bears' 7-man protection? It shows on tape. They do the same thing every week. Over the last 4 weeks, they've been going 7, 6, 7, and once in a while, 8-man protection. They're not worried about getting receivers out there. Cutler can make every throw. They just want to give him protection, and they've done that. So how are you going to, as a defense coordinator, Juan Castillo, going to break down their protection if you're only sending 4 men? I mean, you could stunt, but that's not going to do it.
Run this play. We've shown this play all week.
Earl Bennett killed them.
Well, we've shown
killed
them. Look at Rodgers Cromartie on the inside position, top of the screen, and he's retreating.
Off. Yep.
And then like It's second and 12. Where is he?
Where's he going?
He's not. He's 15.
Not even in the play. Yeah.
And then he's waiting for Earl Bennett to get to him.
You know, the other thing is, and Juan talked about it in his press conference, putting guys in position to do better. Well, I mean, I don't know how. I can't speak to how he's being coached. We just know what the results are. Rodgers Cromartie flat out is not comfortable playing the slot. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I didn't hear a lot of his press conference. I would have asked this.
He's backpedaling when the guy's running
okay.
to him.
Why isn't Hasilio Hanson the nickel corner?
I don't disagree with that. I think the Eagles have gotten into a situation where they want all three of these big time cornerbacks to be on the field when they don't fit perhaps in those positions.
I agree with you.
That's the risk you run when you have all this talent and all these veterans and they all want to play and they all want to be the star and they all want to do.
Sometimes you have
to
do it.
Like, you need role players. You need some tough role players in this team.
Sometimes as a coach, you got to do the right thing. It's not the sexy thing to put Hanson in there, but I think it's the right thing. And I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at this week; they really shouldn't have a problem with the Cardinals.
What part of the Cardinals is decent? Is good?
Well,
is dangerous?
I'll tell you what. Well, Larry Fitzgerald, because he's still an amazing player. You'll see this in Greg Cosell's film piece during Eagles Nightly this week. This guy makes every catch. He makes contested catches. That's the thing that worries you about him, because if they move the ball downfield, you know he's going to get the football at 6'3", and he catches that ball. You just throw it up to him. And then, I'll tell you what, you say what you want about John Skelton. He was terrific last week. He's willing to stand in there and make throws. This guy's 6'5", and 245, 250. This guy's got a good arm. He's really come on in. You want to know what's looked good for them at times? The running game. Chris Beanie Wells. Now he's playing with a knee injury, which is not going to get better. What they're doing purposely is they're limiting his practice time every week just to make sure he can play. If he can't play, that just kills them.
Yeah.
Because they need to get some kind of balance. Their defense also, Dave, really improving the last couple weeks. And Patrick Peterson is playing better. He's had a rough go of it, but he's playing better. He's getting more confident in what they're asking him to do. Kerry Rhodes won't play with his broken foot at free safety. Rashad Johnson is going to get another start. He's not really played all that well. You'll see in our film piece on Eagles Nightly the mental stuff, the mental errors that he's making. But I will tell you, they've got two really nice young outside linebackers who are playing more snaps. Sam Acho, who was drafted this year out of Texas. And O'Brien Schofield is coming off of a major knee injury from last year at the Senior Bowl, if you recall. I was there that day. Vlad Dukas, the second-round pick for the Jets, threw him to the ground, and he popped his ACL. But those young guys are getting more snaps. Ray Horton, their D coordinator, is starting to feel a little bit more comfortable calling stuff. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they play well here, but I have to tell you, it's just a guess. The way you attack the Cardinals is over the top. This could be, and I haven't said this in a long time, a DeSean Jackson game.
Yeah, let's talk about Jackson. The numbers are down. The punt return numbers are poor.
Yeah.
Kid is in the last year of his contract. It's been a story all year. A, what's wrong with DeSean, if anything? Why doesn't he have the numbers? And B, project for me. What's his future here?
Okay, I'll take the last one first. I think he's going to be here. They'll use the franchise tag on him.
And what would that number be?
I don't know what the number is, but I know in the new CBA, though, remember, the structure's different. It's not the top five salaries of last year. It's the last 5 years of the top salaries at the position. So the numbers will be a little bit less. The numbers are going to be less than he would have gotten in the old CBA.
But what are you talking, $10 million?
The highest APY is a little bit over $10 million a season, so he's not getting anything like that now, but that's only for one season. Remember the franchise tag. That's why if you're the Eagles, you only have to commit for 1 year while you try to figure it out with him. I'm wrong. I will admit that I said in August on your show, I said it shouldn't take very long. That's my exact phrase. Once they start negotiating, it shouldn't take more than a couple weeks. Well, they had been negotiating. I could tell you, I reported this on Twitter, I think the first week of September, both sides are off on the guaranteed money in the APY. The guaranteed money is one thing, but agents always want it to look right on the APY, that means average per season, right. They weren't getting $10 million a year. The Eagles, my understanding back then, they were offering in the low eights. I thought they might meet at about nine. They never got there. So I don't know, but here's what I know.
But what's going on with the kid? The numbers are down.
You know what? They are, but if you look at Dallas, their safeties were 30 yards downfield. Chicago, and I called this in the press box if you're following me on Twitter, they played single high,
yep,
and they played their two deep. On single high, that means you have an add-in defender against the run. That's when you got to hit plays. The coaches need to keep moving Jackson around. I will tell you this. It's nonsense. He's not getting double-teamed. What they're doing is they're trying to take away the deep ball.
They're bracket coming.
Yes. Yeah. By formation, you got to move this kid around. Now, that's going to be a challenge for the coaches. You got to take it. If they don't hit it this week against the Cardinals, they'll never hit these plays because they get killed. Mike Wallace killed them, 95-yard play, and we're going to see that on Eagles Nightly this week. And Greg Cosell does a great job of pointing it out. Communication for defenders. This plays to the Eagles, by the way. You got to talk. I mean, you got defenders have to talk. Rogers Cromartie, you got to know where you are on the field. What is he doing? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, all these additions, it takes time to build camaraderie, chemistry.
But you know what? I'll stop making excuses, okay? It's 10 weeks in.
Oh, I
enough
know.
Already.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Can the Eagles salvage this season, Adam?
What would you call salvaging? Define that.
10-6, make the playoffs, and then
that's
who
7
knows?
Out of 8. I mean, you look at their schedule. I mean, Jets here, Patriots here. Now,
beatable. Both teams are beatable.
Both.
But if the Eagles play a great game.
They have to play a Dallas game. You can't play the Dallas game 8 weeks. They're not going to play. They're just not going to do that. Are they capable of rolling off a long winning streak? Yes. But seven out of eight, when you don't know what you're getting each week, I mean, it's tough. Tell you what, if they play like they did against Dallas for several weeks, it would be very interesting. But
a lot more than several weeks.
Yeah.
Do you think the Eagles have great leadership, as Michael Vick alluded to?
The head coach, I have not changed with Andy Reid. I'm a big supporter. Is he perfect? No. He's one of the top five head coaches of the National Football League. But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring back the same coaching staff next year? If this is what I'm asked on Twitter every day.
Well,
if they're 6-10.
No, you don't then.
Then you got to make changes.
Got to make changes. That's a conversation for later.
That's fine. We'll talk about it later. But I'm asking this every day. I don't answer it.
I think Andy comes back regardless.
I do. I you know what?
And he should.
I want, and I'm not going to go there on the rest of the coaches. I'll have something to say, later in the season. I have some ideas, but
there's several weeks ahead here to win.
Right. I just want to throw it out there because I'm being asked every day.
Oh, every day. I mean, that's
you're being asked. Yeah.
Of course, that's the Eagles fans are really frustrated.
They have a right to be.
And I understand that. And the coach is the one who gets the ire, and he's really frustrated.
Right.
And it's just a really ugly time right now. 3-5, nobody saw this coming. And it's inexcusable. It's an underachieving first half of the season.
Yes, I did a midseason preview for the NFC East. And I wrote that you won't find a more underachieving team than this one. I mean, I 5-3 would have been acceptable to me with all the changes.
Sure.
Because, I didn't know how they'd start, but 3-5. But it's a shame, and you alluded to it. It's almost like Dallas game was a tease.
Yeah.
And people got so jacked up, and with such a dominant performance. I mean, if you looked at the rest of the teams, you won't find another team that dominated Dallas like that. And then
this team is capable of doing that.
Sure,
kind of stuff.
Sure.
What do you think happens on Sunday?
The Eagles should have no problem.
Where do you go to find a super business? The ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate.
To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Better, a lot better today. Did a lot of movement and testing it, you know, here and there, and it held up well and all positive, for sure.
Do you feel like you could play on Sunday if needed?
I don't know yet. I said it before, we'll take it day by day, and today was a step in the right direction for sure.
But Kevin, will the opponent increase your tolerance, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely it will. It's a big game for me. It's a big game for us, and I want to be out there at all costs.
What do you have to get to be able to start? I mean, what's the?
I think the main thing is just it not affecting throws, you know, and having trust in it completely. You know, you just don't want to, you know, nagging on you at all. And no, the pain's not the issue. It's just a matter of trusting it completely, and then, of course, you know, not re-injuring it where it causes for delay later on.
Do you try and practice tomorrow, or do you wait until you wake up tomorrow to see?
I wait until we wake up because we're pushing it hard right now, you know, so you got to see how it responds and then make a decision from there.
What exactly can you do for some
right now? Well, we went through a bunch of drills, trying to get movement back in it, trying to put a little bit more weight on it, did some squatting, did some step ups, a little bit of movement here and there, and then just took some nice, easy drops trying to, you know, see how much it'll take as far as pushing off and doing certain things.
So no real practice work, just more or less just drills.
Yep, exactly.
You kind of touched on it a minute ago, but how nice would it be to be able to play in this game and play well just because of where you're going?
I mean, a lot, you know. I mean, anybody can say they don't circle it on their calendar, but you do. And I have a lot of friends, and there's a lot of good people back there, you know, and looking forward to going back, but I definitely want to be in uniform and have a chance to play.
Does it seem like the trade happened a long time ago to you, or does it feel like yesterday? Or
no, it feels like a long time ago, yeah. You know, it's I'm enjoying myself here and glad to be here. But we've been through a lot already, you know, and so that makes it a little longer than maybe what it should feel like. And you put your head down and you start going to work. That's all you think about anyways. You don't think about what somebody else is doing or all that kind of stuff. So we're just concerned about where we're at.
Did you ever even get any time to absorb what happened? Because it seemed like you just hit the ground running as soon as the trade happened.
No, not at all. No, I didn't. I mean, you know, beforehand, just speculating in my mind a little bit, trying to, you know, think about what if it did happen. And I didn't realize we were playing the Eagles till I got here and was a couple weeks in, you know. And so it'll be an interesting week. Even if I can or can't go, it'll still be interesting.
First time, I mean, when was the last time you stood on the sideline, not the opener?
That was the first time this last week, and it was
ever?
Yes, yeah, ever. Because in college I didn't get injured at all, and then last year when I had the concussion, it was an away game, and I didn't go on the trip, you know. So it was a different feeling for me altogether. It was definitely not enjoyable. I'm glad we got the win to put a smile on my face there at the end, though.
How do you think the fans would receive you when you go back there?
I have no idea. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm sure they'll have mixed emotions.
Kevin, do you stay in touch with some of those guys back there?
Oh yeah, for sure. They're lifelong friends, you know, and guys I started my career with, and Vic and I talk at least, you know, once every couple of weeks, see where we're at, see what's going on, and you know, every quarterback goes through certain things, and it's good to hear that other people are going through things as well. It just kind of, you know, gives you a little bit of relief. So him and I try to talk through some things here and there.
In what ways did starting your career in that city, how was that unique, and in what unique ways maybe did that help you?
Yeah, I definitely think it helped me, you know, because it makes you refocus as hard as everybody is out there on you. And the thing that I learned is nobody escaped. It didn't matter if you're the owner, the head coach, the quarterback, or the special teams player. Nobody escaped it. And you just had to block it out, get thick skin, and go play every Sunday, or you're gonna do worse the next Sunday. So it helped me a lot in my preparation, and helped me a lot in being able to focus on what's real, and that's the game of football, week in and week out, and I think that helps you be a better player as well.
They booed Santa Claus, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they did. I wasn't there for that one, but I've heard all about it.
Kevin, if it's one of those things, if you can't go, is it one of those things that you work closely with John to help him break down the Philly personnel that you know so well?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we spoke about it Monday. We spoke about it again there today with the entire offense, and I'm trying to help out where I can. You know, I mean, there's been some changes defensively. You know, Juan's a totally new coordinator on that side of the ball, and so I can help a little bit, but we believe in what we do, and John will do a great job running if I can't go.
How do you think you can help?
Say that again.
How do you think you can?
Just knowing personalities, knowing technique. You know, I know that offense pretty well. You know, so I've spoken with Ray a couple of times and tried to give him some insight on some things. And you know, just giving. I think with John, the only thing I could do is maybe tell him what guys, how they look to make plays. You know, how what their MO is and how they, you know, just all around what kind of player they are. Good, sir.
Thanks.
And Dave Spadaro here with you. Let's throw it over now to the locker room where King Dunlap is going to start at left guard. See how that goes. He's played right tackle. He's played left tackle. And now he will play left guard against the Cardinals.
Guard in the history of the NFL?
Probably tallest. I don't know about heaviest, but sure I'm the tallest.
They got about a 6'9 guy.
Yeah, Campbell. It'll be fun for me. That way you can go inside. I don't have to face one of those shorter, wider guys. It'll be a taller, bigger guy like Campbell. So it might make it a little bit easier.
Play, son. When did you go in the game Monday?
I didn't go in at all. Evan finished. Yeah, he stayed. He finished the game. Yeah, he's tough. He's tough. Real tough guy. I was ready. Yeah. He was on. He was over getting looked at, and if we had a sudden change, I would have gone in. But Evan finished the game out. He's pretty tough guy for having what he did. His foot finishing the game out like that. It's kind of remarkable.
You played well in the spot start already this year, but I mean now you're talking about a completely different position. So I mean, is it throw out the history here and
I know. I'll just try to keep the same. Like I said, come in, fill in like I did before I tackle, keep the offense moving, putting up points on the board. And I said, not miss a beat.
How long the season that you haven't ever done this, it's an honor, obviously, that they would ask you to be the guy.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it like that. It's.
I mean, there's other guys they could ask.
Yeah. I mean, it's be my first, like I said, it'll be a new experience for me, first time playing guard in a game. So something's going to make the most of it.
How long have you been taking reps at guard?
Well, I did a little bit towards the end of last year in practice on scout team, but scout team and taking rest with the starters and the first team is a little bit different. But I've done it a little bit in practice, but not like I'm getting ready to do now and in the game.
What's the most difficult transition making the move from the outside to the inside?
Staying lower because normally you got shorter, wider guys, like a lot more power guys inside. So just making sure I keep myself down lower in my stance when I move my feet.
Staying lower would seem to be a bit of a challenge.
It is. You just gotta bend a little bit more. That's all it is. It's nothing new. I try to stay low outside. Just try to stay a couple, just be more of closer to a foot than 6 inches this time.
Now, can you go up to Todd and say, look, you played your whole career at guard. I played my whole career at tackle. Why don't you switch?
I could, but I don't think that'll work. So, they've got him out there at tackle. So I don't think he'll want to go from being a tackle for so long back inside to doing guard all over again. So
defy the Howard Mudd logic of smaller, quicker on the inside.
That's all we have right now. I said, Colin up getting released, so it's just the next guy steps in after injuries. I'm not the coach, man. I just do what I'm told. So if they want me to play guard, I'm gonna go out there and be the best guard I can be. So.
On Sunday, do you expect that you'll be starting on Sunday?
As far as I know, I will be. I don't know how severe Evan's injury is. But as of right now, I am. So I'm guarding it up this week.
Can you pick Todd's brain at all? I mean, he's right. Played both, and is he good sounding?
He's tall. Yeah. I've been kind of picking his brain already a little bit, just asking him what he does, what works for him, because he's a taller guy like myself. So I will pick his brain a little bit, and then closer in when we get to Sunday.
Worried about any passes hitting your back?
No, Mike said I asked him, if I'm gonna be too tall during walk-through. He said I should be good. He said he'll find the lane. So. We'll see. We'll see.
So who are you going to be matched up with primarily? Who's on the other
team? Calais Campbell. He's about 6'7", 6'8". So we'll be looking eye to eye the whole game. It'll be real big up the middle this week.
Have you ever played against him before anywhere?
Never. He went to Miami, so I never had a chance to play him until now. So it'll be, if I'm watching him on film, he's a, you know, he's a really good guy, good pass rusher, got a good move. So it'll be a, no, it'll be like I'm playing against a defensive end at guard for me.
They like to take Evan and have him pull and get out of space. And times, how comfortable do you feel doing that kind of stuff?
I'm right there. I can do it just as good as he can.
You sure?
I mean, we're about to find out, aren't we? It's
an Alabama thing or what?
Oh no. I give him enough grief about Auburn, Alabama, as it is, because, you know, we beat them 6 years in a row. But, yeah, man, like I said, nothing, you know, as far as I know, they're not changing the game plan or changing any plays or anything. So, still, I'm just a guard doing what I got to do.
Andy always talks about how versatility is so important in his live.
We invite you to join us for a very special game day experience at Lincoln Financial Field, but you can do it online. Partnership with our friends at Geico. Head over to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/EaglesCam. You see the URL at the bottom of the screen there. And check out the Eagles Cam picture from the Bears game and tag yourself. Find the Geico Caveman, and you could win an authentic Eagles jersey. Do it now. The Eagles Fan Cam gives you an opportunity to win an authentic Eagles jersey. Do it. Do it for yourself. Do it for your friends. Do it for everyone. It's great stuff. Dave Spadaro with you, 215-339-6709 is the telephone number here. Eagles nightly tonight. Eagles trying to get back on the winning track here, people. Got to do it against the Cardinals or it's all over. Or it is all over. All right, in the Eagles locker room. Can we take a peek in there and see what we have, Ryan? I don't quite know. We got a live shot of the Eagles locker room. There you go. There's the top. That's a good shot because it doesn't show any naked men. Because we're live. That's what we do. Natural light coming in. It's a green environment here at the NovaCare Complex. It's a good environment here. It's, despite everything going on, it's a positive environment. I know you're not positive. I know you guys are frustrated. And I will agree, there is certainly frustration here as well. But we are taking your predictions. And
you know, you got to give him credit for a lot of that.
Now you can use two tight ends. And, I mean, if both of them are inline, basically just inline blockers, it doesn't put a lot of pressure on defense. You got two guys, that, you know, and you and Clay that can also, you know, are pass catching guys. Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, can you? Is the pressure that puts on a defense different than if you were just blockers?
I think it can put some stress on defenses because if you got guys that can do both, you know, it's tough. You know, do you put your base package in there or do you put your nickel package? So it's something that they have to decide.
Mostly from teams. I mean, I assume it's varied, but I mean, how have team defenses reacted to the team?
Some play differently. Some teams play base against us, and then some teams play nickel. Mostly this year, I think it's been them playing base against us. So.
Because you've been running so much.
I mean, you were around to see Brian really Westbrook develop into one of the most complete backs in the league. He's kind of a bigger guy than most people realize. LeSean is carrying a big workload this year and is not a big guy. Do you have a kind of an appreciation for how the physical element of the game or what he's been able to do?
Oh, yeah. But I think the big thing about LeSean is he doesn't take those huge hits. He's good at eluding them. You know, there's not many times where it's head on and he's just crushing into guys. So I think he does a good job of taking care of himself. And, you know, when you're a running back, and then I think that's big.
He's going back to the two. Great at that. Yeah, but it took him, you know, 5 or 6 years to really get the feel for how to do that. And it seems like Shady just has that.
So you can see it's freezing a little bit here. We are working on the technology. Let's kill that speaker. There we go. And, you know, good stuff there. Brent Celek. And it's true. LeSean McCoy is getting his touches, and he's not taking big hits. And you hope he stays fresh and young forever. All right, let's go to Alabama and talk to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Dave. What's up, man?
Well, you know what? Another week, another opportunity. What can I say?
Yeah, I'm over Monday night, so I'm just like everybody else.
You know, I get over it.
I'm done with it.
I get over it. I get over it, but I think about it all the time. I keep going through my mind all the losses, and it's true. Yeah. You remember the mistakes and the missed opportunities more than you remember the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, point fact of the matter is this. The Eagles they're a very talented team, and they're just underachieving right now. I think it's more mental as of right now. But hopefully, we don't know what type of defense we're going to get on Sunday on a consistent basis. I just hope the defense that came out against Dallas is the defense that we get. Because, I mean, man, it's very inconsistent right now. But we'll see. I still have faith.
Yeah. Hey, you got to get a win on Sunday, and then then you have a chance to go up to the Giants and make something happen there.
I was looking at the Giants' schedule.
Yeah.
Now, they play the next 4 weeks. This is what they got. They have – they're at San Fran. We go to New York. Then they go to New Orleans, and then they play Green Bay.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule.
It's a real – it's very possible that they could lose all four of those games.
Well, the Cowboys' schedule is not as difficult. And,
exactly.
You know, but the Eagles can only worry about what the Eagles do. And I know – and look, we've been doing this all year, looking ahead. As difficult as it is, you can't do it because it serves no purpose. It's about this team winning this week.
I know it's just when you look at their schedule, I know we're taking it one day, one week, one team at a time. It's just if the Eagles could just buckle down and handle business week by week and play at a good caliber, we will find ourselves back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still mathematically there, but, I mean, it's fading away if we lose, you know, if we lose again. And we definitely can't lose to the Arizona Cardinals.
No, no. A loss to the Cardinals would be
fatal.
Fatal and would be, would rock the foundation of this team. I really believe that.
Yeah.
So.
But Vic needs to play better. He had a terrible game. I think offensive line had a terrible game. Just all around, it was a terrible game for the Eagles. But
there were moments of I really liked the way the Eagles took two turnovers and put the ball in the end zone. Love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think Vic was particularly good. Didn't think anybody was particularly good.
It's the fourth quarter and the turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's man.
Yep.
Man, it's
big part of the game.
Not used to seeing it.
Yeah, it's a big part of the game. Give me a prediction for the game, Steve.
Prediction.
Prediction.
We're going to win this one. 34-16.
Okay. Let's hope we're smiling on Sunday.
All right. I hope so, man. Right. I hope so.
All and right.
We go into the Giants Stadium in Rocknum.
Yeah. Let's hope there's some confidence going into that
Sunday
game, some
night.
Momentum. All right, Steve, thank you.
All
right, the date that you want to remember is Saturday, December 3rd. That is when the Eagles hold their fourth annual Philadelphia Eagles blood drive. Now is the time, Eagles fans, to be extraordinary and help save a life. 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Liggett Financial Field. All presenting blood donors will receive a special event Eagles fleece blanket. 6 lucky donors will be randomly selected to win a pair of AAA Fan Zone party tickets to the 2012 season home opener. Call or visit online today. Schedule your appointment. RedCrossBlood.org/Eagles. 1-800-RED-CROSS. Do it now. Save a life. People really need your help out there. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's go to Luke in Virginia. Hi, Luke. Luke is lost. Shady McCoy on pace for just a remarkable season. 1,600 plus yards, 22 touchdowns, like an all-time season in this franchise history. We spoke to him in the locker room just a short time ago.
Before, you just got to have the attitude to go out and do it. I mean, knowing our record we have, knowing every game is very important to us, you know, and we need every game. So just having an attitude to go out and finish off teams. You know, and get the game going. You know, play hard, then finish the team off. And then you look forward to next week. That's how it should be. I think they have enough talent, a lot of good players, one of the best coaches in the league. So, I don't see why that's a problem.
Can that just happen for you guys going out and doing what you normally do week after week, or something has to change?
Just the focus level. I mean, the talent is not the question. I don't think the heart's the question. It's just the mental toughness, just to go out and just you know, take care of business. I think each player just focus on their job, and only their job. I think everything will take care of itself.
Our team finally scheming to take you out of the offense. It seemed like the Bears loaded up with a lot
of it. Yeah. That was surprising. It's like they usually jump back in that cover two deep. They did a lot of one high safety stuff and brought the safety down a lot. So definitely wanted to take the run away. I mean, but they switched off and on. It just surprised us, I guess, because how much they were in that type of cover three, man coverage. You know, the Bears never do that, really. So,
I mean, Mike has the power to audible out of that and call a pass, right? If he sees one safety out there, it might be more sensible to.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes we had passes on with the three high or the one high look. But, I mean, they did a good job, though. Yeah. I give them some credit. I felt like we made plays, you know, on them, on the defense. I felt like we had more opportunities to make more plays, which we didn't.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the case when you lose, you know, miss opportunities or turnovers.
Right.
You know, so.
The strange thing is you guys are top five in big plays because they consider that of 20 or 25 yards or more. I think you guys are top five. But, I mean, you guys used to have 50 to 60-yard plays at least once or twice a game, and those are gone. And,
well,
I mean, they just haven't been there yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a lot more games we played, so hopefully that changed around.
This last one.
I mean, well, it's a game we got to win. That's how you get pumped for it. It's a game we must win to kind of stand this race a little bit, get things to where we need to be at. So this is definitely a game where we got to win.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro here. Eagles live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles Cardinals Sunday, 1 o'clock. Randall Cunningham will be the alumni tribute at halftime, so make sure you tune in for that right here live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com if you are not at the game. Let's go to Philadelphia to talk to Millen. Hey, Millen. Yellow.
Yeah, Dave.
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Been better.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so actually just want to call in and kind of talk a little bit about some of our offensive players and their mindset.
Okay.
You know, obviously, you know, my three favorite players on offense actually are Vic, McCoy, and Macklin. And obviously I love D-Jax too, but during our losing streak at the earlier part of the season, all I was hearing was, we're a better team, we're a better team. and, you know, we have the talent and we're a better team. And I've heard that from everyone except for LeSean McCoy, who's probably having the best season so far out of any of those guys I talked about. And he's the only one that doesn't seem like he's taking it for granted or feels entitled. Everyone else seems to be acting as if we're entitled to win just because we have the talent.
You know, Millen, I think there's an inherent sense of confidence among every football player, first of all.
Right.
So there's at times, you know, you sit back and look at it and go, geez, this team, we're not just not as good as that team. Or they never feel that way. They feel they're the best on the field, no matter whether they start or whether they're deep reserves. They just have that inherent confidence. So it could be that, but I certainly will tell you that when a team loses four games in the fourth quarter, you wonder about where their mind is at, where their urgency is at.
Right.
Do they have a sense of letdown? I mean, it could be.
And, I mean, just to add to that, also a big part of football, and I know a lot of fans don't think this way, is really how many of those fourth quarter games can you win? And it just seemed, you know, I've been an Eagles fan my whole life, and I've seen traditionally the Eagles not being able to win those fourth quarter games. And then last year, we were winning all of them.
Yeah, it's very cyclic, as Marty Morning would say.
Yeah.
Morning would say. I can't explain why one of the problems, I mean, the Eagles have had the lead in the fourth quarter. They've come back and taken the lead in Atlanta. They had the lead against Chicago. They had the lead in against San Francisco. They nearly came back against Buffalo. I can't explain what's happened to this team in the fourth quarter.
I mean, my only theory might be that, you know, I think I have a lot of respect for Juan Castillo. I think, you know, from everything I hear, at least, that he's a hard worker. But maybe his inexperience comes into play in the fourth quarter a little bit, and maybe he plays prevent. Maybe, you know, we had the Bears in some third and long situations, and I don't know why we're not blitzing. And I understand maybe he's, you know, thinking our front four should get pressure due to Washburn's scheme, but I see no reason why we can't blitz a linebacker or two in there also.
The blitz thing, I don't quite know why he doesn't like the blitz. He likes to play coverage.
Right.
He thinks he can get home with a four-man rush. Difficult to do that, Millen, when you're playing against a seven-man blocking scheme, as Adam Kaplan detailed with the Bears. So we'll see what the Eagles do this week. I mean, I got to believe they're going to go after John Skelton. He's not very mobile.
Right.
I don't know. Hey, give me a prediction for Sunday.
Sure. I think we'll bounce back. I think we'll win 34-10.
34-10. Boy, everybody's predicting Eagles big in this one.
Yep.
We need it.
John Skelton, so hopefully if we can't beat John Skelton, then we definitely have to look at ourselves in the mirror.
We got a big problem here. All right, well, hey, Millen, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right, good stuff there. We are going to end the show now. Good call from Philadelphia to end things up. 7 o'clock tonight, it's Eagles Nightly right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us here today on Eagles Live. Chris and Bo man the controls tomorrow at 11 a.m. And then we're right into game weekend. Eagles-Cardinals Sunday, 1 o'clock. Lincoln Financial Field. Everyone, thanks for joining me, and have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Everybody working, I challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for you.